us is mastering just a few simple things. When it comes to sports and the team is losing, the coach always seems to go back to the fundamentals. When it comes to public speaking, there's just a few things you have to master. And if you can get those simple things down, you will generally do okay. It's true with business. It's true with relationships. And it's true with our worship. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is learning how to master those simple little things that God asks us to do so we can have truly great worship. Because that's what we're here to do, is to worship. And that's what we began last week in the Sunday evening. We talked about worship and spoke of our attitude, because it all starts there, doesn't it? We have to have the right attitude, because worship really is a act of showing God what we think He is worth. And we express it by our songs, our prayers, just by being here, by giving a rapt attention to His Word. This is how God has asked us to worship Him. And so we saw there's three things last week: that it requires all our seriousness because of the great God we worship. It requires the entire person to be involved, the body, the mind, the soul, and the spirit. And it has to come from a heart of gratitude, because, well, God is, frankly, He's worthy, isn't He? He's so worthy of everything we could give. Our worship could never be really good enough compared to who He is. But thankfully, God can smile upon us when we worship Him, when we sing songs like we just did, if they're done in the right heart and in the right manner. There's some texts I want you to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So please open your Bible there, and we'll refer to them in just a second. Because we saw also last week that when it comes to worship, there are many ways we could arrange or order our service. And we showed this chart right here. But generally, we do six or seven different things every worship that have been asked by God for us to do. Now, when you break them down to different songs and the Lord's Supper and the prayer before the Lord's Supper, there's some 20 different things that we do in the course of a service. You remember that last week? So the way you could order those in a different combination, according to our mathematician who's not here, it's 2.4 quintillion, or that's 2.4 times 10 to the 18th power. That is a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion. You know, that's, we're up to quintillion. It's way up there. Is there a lot of different ways you could combine or order our service? So it should never grow old. It never should grow stale. It always has room for it to engage every person. Now, out of this quintillion different ways of ordering service, just listen to what the Lord says in chapter 14, where He's talking to the Corinthian church that is having lots of problem in their worship. First of all, in verse 26 at the end, let all things be done for edification. All things, every last bit and single little piece, that when you combine them all together, everything is done to build up one another. That's the job of edification. So in our worship, we want everyone to leave feeling a little more built up than when they came in. Then look at verse 33. God is not a God of confusion. There was all sorts of problems in their worship. People were speaking over one another. People were speaking out of turn. Then he says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of saints. So there are some orders that we could do up here that would probably be confusing. And they wouldn't build people up, so we're just going to mark those off the list. And then notice verse 40, the last verse, the summary of this whole chapter. But let all things be done properly in an orderly manner. Your Bible might be say in decency. And it's supposed to expedite. It's supposed to bring us together. It's supposed to be in a decent way where you say, that was good form. I feel built up by that. So that's the test which we're going to submit our order to when we come to worship God. Does that make sense? So there gives us, though, lots of room in when there's 2.4 quintillion ways we can order things. And you say, well, I'm not sure what you're grasping at. Well, here's one way you could order a service. You could start with a welcome, a prayer, a singing. Notice where the Lord's Supper is, very similar to what we did this morning. And then giving, reading scripture, preaching, invitation, announcements, and prayer. Now, I highlighted the Lord's Supper and the preaching just so you could see how you could switch it around. These are the same elements, but in a different order, correct? Notice we have the preaching before the Lord's Supper. Now, why would you do it that way? Maybe you're preaching about the Lord's Supper. Wouldn't that be appropriate if you're preaching about the Lord's Supper or the death, burial, and Christ to follow with the Lord's Supper afterwards and maybe even do the invitation after the Lord's Supper? Here's another way. Do the welcome announcements together. Could you do that? Is there any written rule of how to do this? With a couple exceptions, which we'll share in tonight's service and the next one coming up. But notice the Lord's Supper's before preaching, and we just end with a prayer, no announcements, because you already gave them. So there's three, and that leaves you 2 quintillion, 432 drillion, 902 zillion, 8 billion, 176,639,000, and 998 more combinations. I minus two from that number. I did it correctly, too. All right. So, do you understand what we're getting at? Well, so, well, how are we going to have great worship? It's in the details. It's in the details. It's how we organize and what we do. And it all starts before we arrive. Great worship starts with us preparing ourselves before we get here. Hebrews chapter 10 says not to forsake the assembly in verse 25, as is the habit of some. Obviously, you didn't do that. You're all here. But there's more instruction for you and me. We chose not to forsake it, but he says, encouraging one another as you see the day drawing near. Hey, I'm going to see you at service this Sunday. It's going to be so great to get together to worship God. It's so great to see Tim again. I can't wait to see you, Tim, next Sunday, right? Does that encourage people? And feel like they're part of it? And is it encouraging to see each other? And that's what he's wanting us to do, prepare ourselves. So could I offer a few suggestions? Prepare your heart, mind, and soul. First of all, make sure you're right with God. It's hard to come worship God when there's sin on our hands. Now, does anyone live perfectly during the week? But knowing that you're going to worship God, make sure you go to God in prayer before you come to worship about those sins. Confess them, ask for forgiveness, trusting that he's faithful to forgive us. You might clear up issues with a brother or sister because it's going to be hard to edify each other when you're still mad at each other. You say, well, that's going to be tough to call them or go visit them and make amends. Well, Jesus demands it of us. He says, you better make yourself, you know, right with one another before you come lay your gift at the altar. This is all part of preparing ourselves, doing the little things so we can have great worship. Would it be advisable to go to bed a little early on Saturday night? Yes. You say, well, why? Well, because it's going to be a big day tomorrow. We're going to meet the Lord, and we're going to worship him. And so don't stay up to 2 in the morning and have things ready, maybe the night before. Leave a little early to get here at services. Now, I know there's exceptions. I've been a parent. I am a parent. I know what it's like, and some things happen, but can we speak in general rules? Let's be here early rather than on time. What on time means that, well, I got here in my seat a minute before it started. Well, if anything happens along the way, you will be late. And that happens all the time, especially if you're a teacher. Especially if you're involved in a service, be here 15, 20 minutes early so we can help get organized. Does that seem reasonable? And so prepare yourself. Some people won't like this, but if it's all about the heart, let's dress appropriately. Let's dress like we're coming to meet God. Now, you say, you mean you have to wear a tie and a suit if you're coming to worship? I left my tie off tonight. Now, I think there's a difference between what we do on Wednesday and what we do on Sunday morning. But you can have dress that's appropriate even for Sunday night, and it doesn't have to be a tie. But we know appropriate dress when we see it, don't we? Never shorts, never t-shirts with names on it. You know, there's appropriate attire and there's inappropriate. You just know. And if you don't or are unsure, ask someone. Ask your wife. Call someone up. And that's fair to do, isn't it? So that's just some of the preparation that as you see the day drawing near, getting ready for great worship. Now, in large, we do a great job, but we can encourage each other even more. So when you arrive, you're here early, and the first thing you're going to do is greet one another. Isn't that what it says in Romans 16, verse 16? Greet one another with a holy kiss. You say, holy kiss? I'm not sure about that. Okay, shake their hand. If you feel comfortable, you can give a side hug. But greet one another. Now, one another means everybody that you come in contact with. Doesn't mean you have to go through all 150 people, but let's create a culture that no one is ever ungreeted in a worship service. Is that fair? Amen. That when you come here, you look around the people as you're walking in, and they're in your 5-foot zone, and everyone you see, you say, hi, good to see you. And when you sit down, you look around and make sure you greet everyone around you. You say, well, I'm shy. Step out of your comfort zone and just say hello to the people around you. There should never, ever be a guest that doesn't have multiple people, if not half the congregation, coming up to them and saying hello. Glad you're here. Now, should we grill them? Where are you from? Are you married? Are you moving? How much do you make? No, because it's a very uncomfortable thing being a visitor sometimes. Some people like to come in, sit down, not be noticed, and get out. Is that true? So you have to be sensitive. Like, hi, my name is Jack. I'm glad you're here. I live in West Salem. Sometimes they ask, how'd you find us anyway? I say, well, on the internet. Oh, really? Isn't it great? And talk about social media or something. But you can ask where they're from if it's appropriate. But engage them, and you'll read their body language whether they want to go farther or not. But everybody should be greeted because we're here to encourage one another, all right? Now, some people, would you stop being so attentive? It's this lady, I just love her. I mean, I'm complimenting, actually. She's sitting, and she got her elbow up and hanging on every word. Now, is that encouraging for a preacher? Amen. Yes. It's a lot better than someone sleeping, trust me. But that's the little things we do. Now, there's someone, where's Bonnie? Okay, we can talk about Bonnie. Does she encourage everyone? Because she's always happy and smiling and gives you a hug. And you have to duck or else her hat will hit you. But isn't that wonderful? That's what we're talking about. All right? Is being those kind of people. So first thing first. Now, we got to beware. This is a quote from Jack Hayford, my brother. No, actually, it's the wrong name. It's close. People have asked me, oh, you're Jack Hayford. No, that's Jack Hayford, and he has a radio program. He's popular. I'm not, okay? The great truth is that while we ought to aim for excellence, he's writing about worship, God doesn't need our excellence. He's like, what? Well, look, read on. It doesn't enhance him a bit. It may make things more lovely. It also can lead to pride, though. We become preoccupied with style rather than substance, with how things look and feel rather than with the truths they communicate. Now do you understand what he says? If we had the most excellent service we could perform, does that make God better in any way? No. Now, does that mean we should not strive for excellence? Well, of course we should, but not for excellence's sake. Why are we striving to have an excellent and great worship? Because God is great. He's worthy. But I'm not doing it so I can feel good about what we just did, but because my heart wants to honor him. So we have to be careful that it comes from the heart and not just to perform. And we know what performance looks like, right? and we could give some examples. Now, let's just talk about some simple things. First of all, it involves everyone. And I already talked about some of the things. When you come, you dress appropriately, you're here on time, you greet one another, you've taken care of issues. But everyone's here to participate rather than spectate. And we can't say that enough. Worship collectively is a corporate activity. It's not just given to those who are leading the prayer or reading the scripture or preaching. Everyone's involved in worship just by their presence. And so to make it more active, we always encourage you, and I will do it again, when a prayer is said, at the end, if you agree with what has just been spoken by the person that led you in prayer, say the word, amen. You say, well, I'm a woman. I don't know if I should say an amen because women are supposed to be silent. There's a difference between saying amen and taking over the worship service and starting to teach. There's a difference between giving announcements as a man and saying amen as a prayer. It's not any different than singing. Can women sing? Well, absolutely, they're supposed to. So could you say at the end of the prayer, quietly or even loud, amen? Now we encourage us to do ourselves to do that. And sometimes we say, and the congregation said, amen. And does that not build people up and make, oh, everyone's listening. Maybe I'll say amen next time. All right. So be involved. And when it's time to sing, sing. We can't talk enough about singing, how important it is to God. And we'll comment here in just a bit. But God loves to hear our voices. He loves to hear us sing. And we'll come back to some of this. And above all, I can speak about how many muscles it takes to frown compared to how many muscles to smile. But you understand, is it more encouraging to your neighbor if you're smiling or if you're frowning? Just smile when you see someone. Now, I know Bruce, when he came up to me, it was hard for him to smile this morning. But he had enough grace to come up and greet me. And that's because of the Civil War football game. But now he's still smiling because we got over it, didn't we? No, smile. All right, so that's one another. Now let's speak about the welcome. When I say the welcome, the person that starts here, I'm just give some practical thing. I maybe should do this on Sunday morning, because really what I want to do is coach everyone up to what's going on so you can encourage everyone and you can be involved yourself. Now, when I say a welcome, we do a welcome this congregation. Some churches don't. They just get up there and the person starts with a prayer or the person starts with this first song. Could you do that? Yes. But in most public gatherings, does someone start the service with an introduction or a welcome? And there's the purpose is several fold. First of all, the opening remarks, how it is said and what is said is going to set the tone for the rest of the service. So it's crucial that we start on the right foot. And what I mean by that, if someone gets up there and they're just, oh, I'm glad you're here, but I really don't have much to say, and I just hope service goes well, let's sing. What is that message that send you? Indifferent, unprepared, not excited, right? But the other hand, if you come in and the first thing you say is something, we're just thrilled that you're here today. You say, well, that's not my personality. Whatever it is, you know when your heart's coming through, won't you? Now, David's going to get up and speak. I'm not going to put you on the spot, David, so don't listen. You're going to have to listen really well because he speaks with an accent, right? And so he has to overcompensate by enunciating every word carefully. But you know what it does? It draws you in because you find yourself listening harder than you when you're listening to me. I wish I had an accent. You would listen more. Trust me. All right. It's active. But the person that starts it, it's all about his demeanor. And it has to come from the heart. Now, we have guests every Sunday. Every Sunday. Some are members of the church from other places. Welcome. Glad you're here. Have a safe trip home tomorrow. Other people have never been to a church service in their life, and they are scared to death. Seriously. Some people or adults have never been to worship in their life, and they sit down here. Do they have any clue what to expect in this service? No, it's all foreign to them. The language is different. The singing is, they want me to sing. It's frightening. Do they understand the Lord's Supper? We say, this is the Lord's body and this is the Lord's blood. What are they going to think? Well, they accused the early Christians of being cannibals, didn't they? They're going to, what do you mean it's his body and their blood? And then the pass the tray, do they know if they're supposed to give or not? They have no idea what's going on. So here's our opportunity, is to welcome them and integrate them into our service and let them know what's going to happen. We're glad you're here. We're going to open with a word of prayer in just a second. And after that, Steve Davidson is going to lead us in our songs. The songbooks are in the front pew, and we'll have them in the overhead if you care just to read them there. We'd like you to sing along. And then at the appropriate time, we're going to remember the Lord's Supper as he directed us, and we'll have comments at that time that are appropriate. And then we'll follow with a scripture reading led by Bruce Carroll, and then I will be giving the lesson at the appropriate time. Does that help them give an idea of what's going on by naming the individuals? And they go, the expectations are set. That's even more important if you're switching the service around, right? What if the Lord's Supper comes after? Everyone's going, he forgot the Lord's Supper. I've had people do that because we've switched it to the end rather than the beginning. And other people say, that's not scriptural. Well, wait, is there any scriptural order? No, with a few exceptions. So when it comes to the welcome, it's so important. It sets the tone. Now, some do's and don'ts about the welcome before I go to this one, the song leader, because then I'll be out of time. Do's and don'ts. Don't give announcements during the welcome. Why? That's the job of the person giving the announcements at the end of the service, or if we put it at the beginning. That's not your job. Your job is just to start the program of worship and set the tone, all right? Smile. Do smile. Do recognize people that are important and that have traveled here that we haven't seen for a while. Now, we got to be careful because if we recognize everyone, some will say, they didn't mention my name. So it's very problematic at times. But it's like we recognize Glenn, it's good to see you. If you have guests, especially someone that's been here and worshiped for 10 years and moved away for 10 years, is it appropriate to say, good to see you, all right? So do that. But don't preach a sermon in the welcome. That's not the job. Song leading. And then we'll wrap this up and finish, Lord willing, next week with the rest of the acts. We can't talk enough about how important singing is to God. We looked at it in the book of Nehemiah. We've looked at it in the book of Psalms. Even Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, they had trained song leaders that trained others. And the reason they did it, because they were skilled in song leading. Throughout the scripture in the New Testament, sing and make thankfulness with your heart to the Lord. It's something that God loves to hear his children singing, just like you like your own children singing. A good song leader can make a bad preacher sound good. But the best preacher will sound bad if you have a poor song leader. It just sets a tone for the whole service. And so it's so essential that we give this the importance that it needs. Now, I don't know why Steve was late, so we're not even going to mention, this is not pointed to you, okay? Because things happen. But some do's and don'ts about a song leader, all right? We're just moving forward from this day. I'm not picking on anyone, is what I'm trying to say. Arrive on time and be prepared. Don't ever wing your song list. I mean, you can choose on the fly which restaurant you're going to go to, or, hey, do you want to go to a movie? Where do you want to go? You can make that decision on the spot. You can surf through your TV and just, oh, that looks good, and I'll watch that. But that's no way to approach worship to the Almighty God. So you prepare your songs, if not the night before, days ahead. Talk to the preacher. Find out what the theme is. Kevin does a great job. He's always Texans. He say, what is this theme? What do you want me to lead? In what kind of songs? Prepare them and then practice them. Because it's so important. Because the song leader sets the tone. Do not pitch a song too low or too high. Because then the congregation cannot sing it. So do pitch your song with a pitch pipe. So I don't know how to use one. We'll teach you. Or we'll have someone like Brian does sometimes pitches it for the person who's about ready to lead. Because if you start too low, you cannot sing the song. If you pitch it just right, everyone can. And it's a joyous noise. And it's easier to be more heartfelt. Learn how to direct, but even if you can't, just at least start the song with the arm movement so people know you're starting. And then start out loud, because if it's real soft, they don't even know what note or they don't even know what the tune is. So be bold. You say, well, I have to practice that. Yeah, stand in front of the mirror and just practice. Practice. Do not use a song Sunday morning that's new to the congregation. Don't. That's not edifying when everyone's sitting there trying to figure out the tune. They're not listening to the words because they're just trying to sing the notes. It's all mechanical. Is there a time to sing new songs? Yes, Sunday night, Wednesday, when we have singings. Absolutely learn new songs, but Sunday morning should be our best because we're putting our best foot forward for God and for one another. Because it's when we have most of our members here at the same time, it's when we have the most guests. And so it should be edifying. Singing songs we know that are appropriate, that fit the theme, that reflect the current events. If someone died or there's tragedies in the land or we had a marriage or a baptism, they can be joyous or they can be somber. Now don't do this. Now we're going back to a guest. A guest says, I don't know what's going on here. And so the guy gets up there and goes, 2:13. 2:13. And someone in the back goes, bingo! Does that guy who's a guest know what 2:13 is? Does he have any idea what it is? But it's language we all understand. We get our books out and go to 2:13. We don't even open our books. We have them up here. So think of the guest. Think of the person that's a new Christian, that's still learning. We're going to start singing some songs of praise to God. And our first song that we have chosen is number 213 in your green books. 213. I have chosen this song because it's going to speak about the love of God in our life. And so give some words of why you picked it. Now, does it need a sermon before every song? No. But you say, this next group of songs, I've heard my brother John do that. I picked them because they speak about how great our Lord is. And then there's a melody of three songs together. And you're back to individuals. I won't even ask who that was. Let's get our cell phones off, all right? We can do that, all right? All right, where was I? That's enough for the song leader. But smile. Steve's good about smiling. Have you noticed that? He's up there and he just smiles. And his son has picked that up. And let me say this, it's not about style, it's about substance. I was in North Seattle 2 weeks ago, and there's a guy up there named Lloyd. And at the end of the 3 days, said, Lloyd, can you come home, lead sing with us? He did not use a pitch pipe, he didn't know how. He did not know how to lead, he just went like this. He was not a great singer, he didn't have good vocal capabilities, all right? But there's something about the way he led singing. It came from the heart. And just the way he did it, it got everyone involved in the singing. And it was some of the best singing I've heard in a long time. Because it started where? Right here. And that overcame the lack of skill and technique. Now, should he learn to use a pitch pipe? He'll even be better. Should he learn to direct? Yes. But it starts where? Right here. And if you've got that, that's the most important thing. Because we can work, God can work with that, can't he? So, with that being said, we'll have some more pointers next week when we talk about the Lord's Supper, and then we'll talk about, oh, can we skip the preacher? We'll talk about the preacher's role too. All right, we have some things to say to myself. All right, but above all, smile. Just smile, because we're here, because we're happy. With that being said, we're going to sing a song, and then Mariano will have his time. Thank you.